We're in the second week of Living with Jesus, and you know, I'm really getting used to this. I really like this theme, and we're going to do this particular title series, Values, for about 2 more weeks. But then I think what we're going to do is we're going to continue to live with Jesus. Amen? Amen. All right. So I'm really kind of getting used to this, and I really like this series. And last week, Pastor Ron Stark kicked it off, and he asked the question, what is our value / self-worth anchored to? And I put that on Facebook. Hopefully some of you saw it. But anyway, what is your personal value worth? What is it anchored to? Remember what he said last week? He said a little bit about like the stock market. He gave the analogy of the stock market goes up and down depending on certain variables, okay? Right? If the president of the United States gets on and he says something positive, guess what happens to the stock market? Goes up, right? If he says something negative, it goes down. If anything can happen, if they raise interest rates, the stock market does crazy things. But it happens. It goes up and down, depending on whatever. And if you follow that, you could actually go crazy if you look at it every day, right? It's kind of like your weight. You know, if you look at it every day, you stand on the scale and say, oh, no, not again. But that's why they tell you not to do it every week. But anyway, we place a lot of value on that. So our value can go up and down with like the stock market, right? It's like an emotional roller coaster that we can be on, depending on where you place or where your value is anchored. If it's anchored on certain things, you're gonna allow people to say something to you. Like if you anchor it on your job and you lose your job, guess what happens to that emotional roller coaster? Man, you take a tailspin right down. If you anchor it on somebody that you're dating or that you're married to or your whatever it is, your finances, your money, if there's a change in there, it can either go up or it can go down, that emotional roller coaster, depending on where you place your value. Now, Pastor Ron and I had a lot of discussion around this subject this past week. And I don't like what I discovered about me, okay? About some of the things the thing that I'm anchored to, that I place my value of me. Okay? Now, I want you to think about where you place your value, and some of you are going to be placing your value just like I do. Okay? Because I'm going to tell you what I place my value in. And like I said, I didn't like what I discovered. I discovered that I place a lot of my value on my image. On my image. And until I verbalized it, until it came out of my mouth, it was like, whoa, I don't like that big ugly thing that just came out of my mouth. Holy cow. And some of you are sitting here are thinking, well, gee, that's kind of like me too. You know what? I spend a lot of time on how I look. I spend a lot of time on, you know how long it takes me to fix my hair? Oh man, my weight. Oh, I spend so much time on losing weight. I gain it and I lose it. I run to try and get it off. You know, and you know, Allison and Karen, and Joe and Steve, we all went up the mountain last Friday night and it was pretty awesome. I ran the mountain, they walked, and it was pretty cool. But I spend a lot of time on that image. And what I wear, I want a certain look, right? Some of you know me from way back when I was Joey instead of Joe, or Pastor Joe. And you know, I wore Harley-Davidson shirts with flames on them, right? You remember that? Chaps, and I put a picture up on Facebook, you know, and back when I had long hair and when I was thin and all that, I spent a lot of time on that. And you know, as far as what I drive, you know, my image, it's important. I wouldn't drive a Suzuki. I want to drive a Harley Davidson. When I had motorcycles, guess what they were? Harley Davidson, because you not only buy the bike, but you buy the attitude. You do. You buy the image. And I had on the back of my pickup truck, I had the big old pickup truck with Harley Davidson on the back and all that stuff. I put a lot of time, money, and effort on my image. Here's the tension, guys. Here's the tension on this. We spend the majority of our resources, wait for it, because you're going to like it. Here it is. It's what we worship. And I don't like that. You see, because whatever you spend your time and your resources and your talents is what you worship. So I obviously, guess what? Worship my image. I don't like that. It's okay. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it's a bad thing to want to maintain good personal hygiene and good personal appearance, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. But when you take it and you worship it, that's an issue. Because God wants to be worshiped. And what you spend all your time and all your money on, whether it's your job or whether it's your looks or whether it's your finances or whatever, guess what's going to happen? It's going to go up and down. Because guess what? I can't maintain this. Eventually, I am not going to be able to run the mountain. Eventually, I'm not going to be able to drive what I want to drive. Eventually, I'm not going to be able to look the way I want to look. It's already changing. Back when I was 18, I had hair down to the middle of my back. I was skinny. Now I'm 60 years old, and look what I look like now. There's no hair down the middle of my back. I'm lucky that I have what I have. Man. And eventually, the weight's going to catch up to me to a point where I can't get rid of it anymore. And it's the same thing with you guys. It's going to change. Things are going to change because it's a flawed system. The system that I am worshiping is flawed. It is. Take a look at Exodus chapter 20. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to look at 2 points today. That's one of them. What you worship, what you do, what you place your value on, what you anchor. That's one of them. Okay? Exodus chapter 20. God is giving Moses the Ten Commandments. Okay? And here it is. Let's begin in verse 1. We're going to read down through verse 5. It says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Let's read that again. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." Now listen. "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a" what? "Jealous God." He's a jealous God. Not jealous of you, jealous for you. There's a big difference there. We can be jealous of one another, of what we have. We talked a little bit about this in our D1 class this morning. We were talking about jealousy and things like that, or envy and covetousness. He's not that way, all right? He's not jealous of what I have, because he's given everything that I have to me. What he's jealous is, he's jealous for me. He doesn't want me because he knows what's going to happen, and we're going to look at that later. He knows he is jealous for you. He doesn't want you to worship anyone or anything but him. That's it. That's all he wants you to worship. He doesn't want you to serve anything else. And why is God so jealous for us? Because he knows that eventually I will not be able to keep my weight off. I won't be able to run anymore. My standard of living won't last forever. That I won't have a full head of hair. These things are all temporal, and he knows that. They're all going to disappear. It's a flawed system, guys. Whatever we're chasing in this world, it's a flawed system. And we need to understand that. It's very flawed. And until I thought about that, until Pastor Ron and I looked at that and I said, man, what am I doing? I'm anchored to this? I'm anchored to something that's going to disappear? That's craziness. That's craziness. God is the only sure thing. He is eternal. He is the one where we anchor to. And Pastor Ron's going to go on and talk about some of this next week, but he is eternal. None of this stuff, all the stuff is going to go away. I am going to eventually return to dust. And I've invested so much time on it. And it's going to be worth nothing. He's not some meanie where he gets his enjoyment seeing us not have what we want. You know, I kind of liken it to this, okay? I'm a bus driver. I drive the school bus, right? And I've got a route. And I've got some crazy kids on that route. And I tell them, look, guys, sit down. Don't walk in the aisle while the bus is moving. Why? Because I'm a meanie, right? No, because I don't want you to face plant on the floor if I have to stop quick or if somebody hits me or if I have an accident. It's not for me. I don't want something for me. I want something for you. But they don't get that. That's the same thing with God. God doesn't want something from you. He wants something for you. And he knows what's good for you. And he tells you, this is what I want. Do it. Not because I'm a meanie, but because he knows what's best for us. He made us, after all, right? God doesn't want something from us. He wants something for us. King Solomon had everything that his eyes desired. If you look at Ecclesiastes and you look at chapter 4, and it'll say, I had men servants, I had maid servants, I had gold, I had silver, I had chariots, I had horses, I had women, I had everything. He had everything that a man could ever want. As a matter of fact, he says, whatever my eyes desired, I did not withhold from myself. Take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Chapter 12. Because he concludes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. In verse 13. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. King Solomon, the wealthiest man, the most knowledgeable man ever to live, had everything, gold, silver, you name it, the finest of everything. He said, doesn't mean a thing. The only thing there is to fear God and keep his commandments, period. Whole duty of man. We get our value from what we worship, family. That's where we get our value from. And there's a flip side to it. We get the value of others from what we worship. And sometimes we devalue, not only do we devalue ourselves, but we devalue others because we have a flawed system. We get the values from others from what we worship. Whatever it is, you worship it is how you will put a value on others. Let me give you an example. And this is how I've done it all the time. And I realize it's flawed. But you know, I drive a bus. I just told you that, if you didn't know. And there's a guy that drives opposite me. I see him all the time. He drives for another company. He drives an older bus. And he wears kind of a brown canvas jacket, something like you would, like a farmer would wear, or you'd get from Tractor Supply or something like that. You'd buy it from there. Okay, Steve wears one of these. Amen. All right. So he drives an older bus. I drive a new bus, and you know, I wear cool stuff. He wears this jacket. All right. So I look at him and I judge him. He's an older gentleman. And after all, you know, I'm driving this bus, and I have been in the transportation industry for 35 years. Drink. Inside joke for Ron and I. I say that all the time, and every time he says that, he goes, drink. 35 years, okay? So I've trained people to drive tractor trailer. I've done a lot. I've got it all. So I decided one day, we pulled in together. I see him all the time, wave to him. I'm nice to him. I love him. You know, he's a guy. So I pull up behind him, and we've got some time before the kids come out of school. So I said, well, I'm going to go introduce myself to him. So I get on my bus and walk up front. Hi, my name is Joe. I drive the bus behind you. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. My name is, I can't remember now, Bill. So anyway, he says, I said, yeah, I said, I'm retired, you know, and I blah, blah, blah. I gave him my resume. And he said, yeah, he said, I'm retired from the military. I was a lifer in the military. Yeah, I just, I flew aircraft, and I trained people to fly jet flyers, jet planes. Oh, man, I wanted to crawl in a hole. This guy, you know, that has this jacket. But I devalued him by my standard of appearance and image. I devalued him. It was wrong. It was wrong, man. It was wrong, just totally wrong. Now I've been judging others on this standard for a very long time, and I can even disguise it by saying I'm a good judge of character, right? Reality, I am placing a value on people, and I'm devaluing them. Or, depending, I may value them a whole lot more because they drive a nicer car or live in a nicer neighborhood or whatever. But I don't like it when it's done to me. Let me tell you about this. There's this guy, okay? I'm back in my bus again, all right? I go to the Uniontown High School. This is not for a regular bus route, okay? This is, I'm taking the golf team. The golf team to play golf. And I'm bringing them back. So I brought him back, and I pull in front of the Uniontown High School, you know, back where the bus ports are and stuff. So I pull in there. This guy in this little sports car, all right? He comes around, pulls right in front of me, opens his door, and leaves it open. Now, there's a parking lot here with cars parked. I can't get around him because his door's open. And he leaves it open. He comes out, and he gets his kid off the bus, and he puts, no big deal, he puts his golf clubs in there, closes it. And then the coach comes around, and he has a conversation with the coach. And I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. And he looks up to me like, just an old bus driver. You're uneducated. You're a dirty old bus driver. You just, all you can do is drive a school bus. You can wait. Don't you know who I am? I am Zorro. Let me tell you something. I got so irritated with that. Because he didn't just look up at me and stare at me, and I knew his body language was, yeah, you could wait. But he continued to talk to the guy and made me sit there like my time is not valuable. He devalued me.
And I hated that. But that's what I do to everybody. He devalued me. And I'm sitting there and I'm boiling, okay? I'm thinking, all I have to do is nudge that door and knock it off its hinge. That would teach him a lesson, right? I would no longer be a bus driver, but that would teach him a lesson. He devalued me, and I was deeply wounded. I was deeply wounded. I wanted to do all kind of stuff. That's the flaws in the system. He didn't know who I was. And it really didn't make any difference. And Jesus already knew about this. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And look at verse 21 and 22. Matthew chapter 5. It says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell's fire." Now, come on. Murder, that's pretty bad. You deserve it. You murder somebody, you take somebody's life, you deserve it, right? But call somebody a fool or be angry with somebody, it's just as bad? Jesus knows what he's talking about. Because when we do that, we devalue that person, that creation, his creation. We devalue it. We say, you're not as good as me. I wouldn't give you anything for it. I'm calling you a fool. And he says, it's just as bad as murder. And as a matter of fact, it will give you a huge punishment. Like eternity in hell. That's what we do when we place a value on someone based on our flawed value system. Jesus knew how deeply injured or wounded I would be, and he knows that would get me angry, and he knows how badly I would injure others by placing a value on them based upon my flawed value system. And take a look at 23 and 24. It says, "Therefore, if thou brings thy gift to the altar and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift." Now think of it this way. It's a big deal. It's a huge deal, all right? It's this big celebration, like a wedding or a religious event, and you're bringing your, you know, back then they were bringing their stuff to the altar, right? They're bringing their sacrifices to the altar, and he's saying, stop it. Stop right there. You have something going on. You've devalued one somebody else. You have aught against somebody else. I don't want your offering. Leave it there. Go back and make it right. That's how big of a deal this is. Jesus knew it's a big deal. You got to make things right. Quit valuing other people on your flawed value system. Let me show you something. Say, for instance, you have an opportunity to go back in time. And you go to some starving artists are showing their paintings. How about showing one of these paintings? This one right here. And you're standing beside this guy, all right? And you look at that painting, and you say, well, I wouldn't give $2 for that painting. I mean, I wouldn't even hang that up in my basement. Would you? It's a Rembrandt. It's worth millions. And Rembrandt is standing beside you. What did you just do to him? Rembrandt says, "This is my creation. I painted that. That's me. That's a self-portrait of Rembrandt." And he says, "Look, look what you're saying. This is my creation, and you wouldn't give it 2 cents. You just devalued me. You hurt me. You wounded me deeply. You placed a value on this man's painting, and he stands there and says, 'This is my creation.'" Well, every time we place a value on ourselves or on others using our flawed system, guess what we're doing? We're telling God that what he designed, what he had created, is worthless. Think about that. You are God's creation. You are worth something to him. So don't devalue us. Don't devalue me on your flawed system that has no staying power, that will not last, that when you die, it's gone. But on his value system, his creation, which is eternal. You see, God places great value on his creation, you and I. He loves us both. And you know what? God, help me to see what you see in others. And don't let me judge. Now, there's a video. It's about a 4-minute video before we have our altar call. And this is by Brandon Heath. And it's about, God, give me your eyes for just 1 second. So if Pastor Ron can play that. I think that's what our prayer should be. Jesus, give me your eyes so I can see the way you see humanity. So let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. You know, Jesus knew this all along. He knew that whatever we worship, God knew it from the beginning. He said, whatever you worship is where you're going to put all your time and money and resources. He says, don't do that. Don't do that. Just worship me. See how I see. Don't anchor your self-worth and everybody else's self-worth on this temporal flawed system. You know, so I'm going to open the altar. I don't know where you are. I shared my heart with you. How I put a lot of emphasis on image. So that might be you today. I don't know. You might put it on something else. I don't know where you are in your walk. But I know one thing. You spend an awful lot of time there. Probably a lot more time there than you do serving God and worshiping him. So I'm going to open the altar. So if you need to come down and just even if you just ask God to give you his eyes so that you can see humanity and yourself for what it really is, won't you come?
You stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to sing. You stood before my failure, carried the cross for my shame. A sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to sing. So what could I say?
forgive me. Forgive me when I devalue your creation that you love so much, that you gave your only begotten Son for us, for your creation, God. I apologize. Help me not to put my anchor there, to put my anchor on you, and to start to value and to see with your eyes your beautiful and wonderful creation that you created in your own image. God, we thank you. Thank you for this message. Thank you for the folks that came out. God, I just ask that you would change us. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.